Today's daf is Tmura daf Kaf Daled. We're going to start right at the top. Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. Hamafrish shtei chataot l'achrayut, mitchaper b'achat mehem, v'chaverta ro'eh. So if somebody takes two animals for a korban chatat, one just in case, he has to bring a sin offering, or she has to bring a sin offering and is concerned that one of them might get lost. So what happens? They have two, they use one, and the other one is left to graze. So that's Rabbi Hoshaya's halacha. So the Gemara asks, Aliba Deman, who does this go according to? So now, in order to understand this, we didn't learn together the last two tapim because of Shabbat and Tisha B'Av. So I'm going to go back for a minute and just review the Mishnah on Daf Kaf Bet. So the Mishnah there had an opinion at the bottom of Kaf Bet. The Mishnah there ended with a machloket between Rebbe and Chachamim. Okay, we'll read the last case there. Hamafrish chatat va'avda, v'hifrish acheret tachteha. Okay, this is a little different than our case. Our case is he separated them both because of achrayut, just in case something happened to one of them. In this case, someone separated a chatat, it got lost. Then hifrish acheret tachteha, v'lo espik lahakriva ad shenimtzei tarishona. Classic case, it gets lost. Before he sacrifices the new one, he finds the first one. Vayushtehen tmimot. So now they're both in good shape. Achat mehem tikarev chatat, vashniyat tamut. So if they're both in good shape and can be both sacrificed, what happens? The first one is chatat and the second one dies. That's Rebbe. Okay, so Rebbe thinks, even in a case where one got lost and the other one, and then it gets refound and we have two, the second one tamut. V'chachamim omrim, ein chatat meta, ela, the only time chatat is meta is only kishenimtzeit me'achar shekipru abalim. Only if the lost one was found after they already received atonement. Ve'en mo'or ocholi amamelach, ela shenimtzu me'achar shekipru abalim. And likewise, if it was money that was separated, which also if you separated money for a sacrifice and then you lost the money and then eventually found it. So again, Chachamim say the only case you would have to send this money to Yam HaMelech, meaning you can't use this money for anything else, is in the case where it was found after they already received atonement. Okay, so that's the machloket Rebbe and Chachamim. There was a whole debate on the previous daf about what exactly the case they're debating, and that we ended up concluding, at least according to Rabbi Abba, in the name of Rav, that the issue is really not about the first one that was lost, but everyone agrees about mitchaper b'she'en avuda, that if they use the second one and then the first one that got lost is the one that's left, clearly that would be left to die because that was lost. And lost, having lost it, is a bad thing. But the debate is about what if you used them after you found the lost one, you use that as the sacrifice, and now you have the second one left. Do we say, mafrish li'ibu ki ibu dami? Do we say, Rebbe holds, the dafka, once you separate, once it got lost, we're going to treat that second one as if it was lost, and therefore it has to be left to die? And Rabbanan savre lav ki ibu dami. They hold that it's not the same thing. It's not considered like the one that was lost, and therefore you wouldn't have to leave that one to die. Okay? But continuing along in this, let's go back now to Rabbi Hoshaya. So when he says, you are mafrish shtechato l'achrayu, mitchaper ba'achat mehem b'chaverta ro'ah, so the question is, aliba deman. Ilem aliba de Rabbanan, if he goes according to Rabbanan, doesn't make any sense to say that, because hashtet mafrish li'ibud amre Rabbanan lav ki ibudami, if you were mafrish to replace the lost one, and then you found the lost one, and you sacrificed the lost one, and it's, again, this is according to Rabbi Abba, and we would say that it's lav ki ibudami, meaning that one is left to be roe. So l'achrayut mebayi, you wouldn't even have a question by achrayut. Of course, then by achrayut it would be roe, in which case Rabbi Yoshaya doesn't even need to tell us this. Ela, aliba de Rabbi Shimon, maybe it's according to Rabbi Shimon. Now that's not going to make any sense either. Now Rabbi Shimon, we didn't mention in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says that there's chamesh chataot meitot, and one of those five are chatat shenitchapru ba'aleha ba'acheret, that there were two, and he received atonement from one of them, the other one is going to be left to die. Well, according to that Of course it's going to be left to die, meaning it won't be roe. So it can't be the Rabbi Yoshaya, somebody said, according to Rabbi Shimon, because this would be a classic case of Nitchapru Ba'aleh. He doesn't specify there, Rabbi Shimon, about whether Nitchapru Ba'aleh, if it was lost, or if there were two for Achrayut, just as long as this was designated for a korban that the owner already received atonement for. So therefore, it must be Ela Aliba de Rebbe. It must be that he's holding like Rebbe. And then we'd say like this. Now, in the case of it got lost and they found it and then they sacrificed the first one, Rebbe says the second one, even though it wasn't lost, it still is left to die. But yet we would say, it comes Rabbi Yoshaya to say in this case, it's not the same as Ibud. Why? Ibud. He was only saying that if one got lost, then we'll treat the second one as if it was like the first one that got lost. Aval achrayut lo. But if you separated both from the beginning for achrayut, then we wouldn't say it would be left to die, but you would leave it to graze. Okay, now, again, what do we say? Rabbi Yoshaya says, if you're mafrish for achrayut, two animals, the person takes one, gets atonement from it. The second one is left to graze. That must be Aliba de Rebbe. So now comes the Gemara and is going to question this. Tnan, but it says in our Mishnah, Hamafrish Chatat, Vaharehi Ba'alat Mum. If you're Mafrish Chatat and then it gets a mum and you can't use it anymore, what do we do with it? Mochra Umevi Acheret Tachteha. So you sell it and you bring a different one in instead. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Kervashnia Kodem Shenishchita Rishona, Tamut Sharei Kipru Ba'aleha. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon comes and says, it depends. Yes, your mafresh a different one tachteh, and you can sell the balat mum. But if you ended up sacrificing the second one before you slaughtered the first one, even though you've redeemed it already, you've sold it, and it's chulin, it still has some element of hekdesh on it. And when you sacrifice the first one, the second one that you took in instead, it turns that first one into a chatat shekipru ba'aleha, and therefore, it's going to have to be left to die. Shikvar kipru ba'aleh, because their owner already received atonement. Kasal kada'atach, so now, why is this a question? Because we're assuming, the assumption is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who appears in our Mishnah, is either going to agree with Rebbe or agree with Chachamim. So now, it must be, okay, kasal kada'atach, de Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, ki Rebbe sfir aleh. Va'filu bach rayu namilah. It can't possibly be that they hold like Chachamim, because Chachamim said, even in a case where it was lost, they would say that this it's left to be roeh. So Chachamim for sure wouldn't say that this one would need to be left to die, and therefore it must be holds like Rebbe. Now, if he holds like Rebbe, what's the issue? Ba'filu ba'achrayu nami lo. Right now, in this case, if Rebbe holds in the case of achrayut that it doesn't have to be left to die, it could be roeh, then obviously in this case where you actually got a mum and you redeemed it, of course he wouldn't think it would be left to die. So therefore, how could you possibly explain Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? He doesn't seem to match Chachamim or Rebbe. So what's the only option? To say he holds like a third opinion. Lo, Dilma, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Kavua Spirale. Maybe he holds like his father, which is logical to say because often children hold like their father. Tamar, who's his father, Rabbi Shimon. Tamar, Chamesh Chatot Meitot. In which case, any chatat shekipru ba'aleha is going to be left to die. And here's a classic case, right? Even though you redeemed it, still it's a chatat shekipru ba'aleha. Okay, tnan. Now we're going to ask another question from a different Mishnah. Okay, this is a Mishnah in Yoma, which was mentioned in the previous daf, about a case where you have two seirei Yoma Kippurim. Okay, you took two seirim, and then, right, you go one la Hashem, one la Azazel. And then what happens? The one la Azazel dies before you finish sacrificing the first seer. So what do? You bring a new pair of seerim because you have to do a goral. Again, there's homachloket about this. But according to this, you bring a new set of seerim. And then you now have two seerim la Hashem. So what do? Because you have the one from the first pair, which is still alive, and you have the one from the second pair. So one is sacrificed, and the second one is left to graze until it gets a mum. You sell it and you take the money and give it to Nidava. Now, why is it left to graze and not to die? Because isn't it a chatat? And theoretically, it's a chatat shekipru ba'aleha. So what do we say? There it says, what's the reason why it's not meta? Lefisha ein chatat sibur meta. Because all the korbanot, the chataot metot, are not korbanot sibur. And therefore, that's why this isn't. But what's implied from that? Had yachid, if it would be of a yachid, it would be meta. And about this, Amar Rav, Ba'alei chayim einan nidchin. Ba'alei chayim aren't considered rejected when they're still alive. And therefore, kishehu mitchaper basheni shebezug rishon mitchaper. V'ida havalei achrayut. So what do we say here? That according to Rav, when the tzibor gets kapara from the se'ir, the second se'ir of the zug harishon, in other words, the atonement is going to be through the first se'ir from the first pair. Okay, in other words, the second, they call it the second. It means the second se'ir, the one that went to Hashem, from the first zug. Okay? And the one that's left to graze is from the second pair. Okay? So now, what do they say? This second pair, what did we bring it for? Well, really for achrayut. Ida havele achrayut. Right? That se'ir and the second pair was really left for achrayut. And what do we see from this Mishnah? V'katanet yachid meta. It said the only reason it's not meta is because it was tzibor. But if it was yachid, it would be meta. So, how could we say this? So, what's the answer here? Rav, who says that, again, what did Rav say? Ba'alei chayim einam nidchin, meaning, what he meant when he said that was basically to say that the first se'ir la'Hashem that was parallel to the Seir Lazazel that died, that one's not rejected, meaning that's the one that gets sacrificed. So when he said that's the one that gets sacrificed, and then the second one, according to the Mishnah, doesn't get killed only because it's a tzibor, but if it were yachid, it would. So when he says that, who is he going according to? Savar laka Rabbi Yossi. He's holding like a unique opinion. Damar, now here Rabbi Yossi is saying something in a different context about a Korban Pesach, that if you designate a Korban Pesach and then it gets lost and you take a different one in its stead and then you find the first one and now you have two. Until now we keep saying what? You can choose whichever one you want. According to Rabbi Yossi, mitzvah barishon, which means that specifically in the Seir Yom Kippurim, according to Rav, it's a mitzvah to use the first one. And therefore what? The second one is not a case of achrayut. The second one was never taken as, oh, maybe we'll sacrifice it. It was only brought because you needed it for the goral, and you needed the one for the Azazel, and you had to bring two. You had to do a goral. But from the beginning, from the get-go, it was already rejected because no one ever planned to use it. And that's why it would have been meta if it were of a yachid. And it's not because it's a tzibur. But theoretically, if it was a case of achrayut, you wouldn't necessarily say that, in which case we could still hold by Rabbi Yeshaya, who says that when you're rafish l'achrayut, the second one is roeh. Okay, now we're going to talk more about a chatat that gets lost. Tani Rav Shimi bar Zeri kameder Rav Papa. Okay, he's taught the following brayta in front of Rav Papa. Avda b'shat afrasha, l'rebi meta, l'rabanan tireh. Avda b'shat kapara, l'rabanan meta, l'rebi roeh. If the animal gets lost, and then you designated the new one in its stead, and it gets found before they actually received atonement. So according to Rebbe, it's left to die, and according to Rabbanan, it's left to graze. But avda bishat kapara, but if it's lost when you actually received atonement, then le Rabbanan meta and le Rebbe roe. The opinions are flipped. Rabbanan would say it's meta, Rebbe says it's roe. So Amarle, Rav Papa says to him, what kind of crazy thing did you do? Kavachomer. Isn't it a kavachomer? Uma avuda b'shat hafrasha d'amre rabbana roe. V'amar Rebbe meta avuda b'shat kapara d'le rabbana meta Rebbe lo kol shekein. If Rebbe, basically let's say it in simple terms, if Rebbe says that if it was lost when you designated a new one in its stead, then it's going to have to be left to die, then obviously if it's lost at the time you actually received atonement from the new animal, you sacrificed the new animal in its stead, of course it would have to be meta. So therefore, Rav Papa says, you must have gotten the gersa messed up, Elat nehachi. This is the way you should read it. Avodah b'shatav rasha l'rebi meita l'rabbanan ro'e. Like we said before. But b'shat kapara divrei hakol meita. But when it comes to shat kapara, then even chachamim would agree that it's meita. Now we're going on in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, the next part of the Mishnah was, if you are mafrish, a behema, a good animal for chatat, and then it became a balmum, what do? You sell it and take with the money, you buy a new one. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, so he says that if you, im kervashnia, ad shelonish chatat rishona, I'm just reading it from the Mishnah, if you sacrifice the second one, before the first one, we mentioned this just before, right? In other words, before you sacrificed, what did you do? You redeemed it. Now it's chulin, but it's not fully chulin. Because if before you slaughter it, you already sacrificed the new one, then we're going to say it's a case of far kipruah ba'alim, ba'acheret, and then you'd have to leave it to die. So Tanu Rabbanan, now we're going to bring a different limud, which is going to connect. Ein margilim b'yom tov. This is something we learned in the past. It means that there were two ways you could take off the skin of an animal. One is to split it down the center and peel off the hide. But there's a harder way to do it, which is better if you're trying to create a flask out of it. They would make flasks out of it. If you take it from the bottom, from the legs, and then you kind of peel it off the animal. So in this case, what do we say? You're not allowed to do this act of margilim. That means to take it from the regel. B'yom tov. You can't do it on yom tov. Kayot sebo. Ein margilim b'bachor. You're not allowed to do this with a bachor. V'lo b'psulei ha'mukdashim. And you also can't do it with an animal that had become a bal mum. There's an animal that was designated for sacrifice, and then it got a mum, a blemish. So now we're going to go through the three cases. Bishlama b'yom tov. We understand why you can't do it on yom tov. T'katarach tircha d'lo chazele. It's an extra tircha, and it's tircha that you don't need for yom tov. Right, because it's something you're going to use later for a flask, but not on Yom Tov. So since it's a tircha that you don't need on Yom Tov, it's asur to do on Yom Tov. Ela bechor man tana, but who's the tana who says that a bechor? Now the bechor here we're talking about a bechor who gets a mum. Who's the tana who holds that you can't do this? Amrav chista beit shamai he. This follows beit shamai. Why? Damar bechor b'kdushatei kai. Even once it gets a mum, it's still. Even once it's blemished and the kohen now can eat it without having to sacrifice it, it still has kedusha to it. Ditnan, how do we know this? That this is Beit Shammai's opinion. Beit Shammai Omer says in the following Mishnah B'chorot, Lo yimane Yisraelim ha-kohen ala b'chor. When the kohen sits down to eat his b'chor, that he didn't need to sacrifice because it got a mum, a zar can't eat with him. So what do you see? Since a zar can't eat with him, it still has a certain level of kedusha, which means if it has a certain level of kedusha, you can't do margilin because it's disrespectful to the animal. It's not an appropriate thing to do to hektish. Okay, so that's bechor. Psulei mukdashim mantana. So who's the tana about psulei mukdashim? I'm Rav Chista, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon. Okay, follows Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon's opinion. Ditanya, it says in the following braita, Hayu lefanav shte chataot. Achat mima v'achat ba'alat mum. If you have two animals you designated for korban chatat, one was a tmima and could be sacrificed, and one was a bal mum that can't be. Tmima tikrav, ba'alat mum tipadeh. So, what do you do? Sounds very similar to our previous case. You sacrifice the good animal, and the ba'alat mum you redeem. Nishchita ba'alat mum ad shelo nizrak damah shel tmima. If you sacrifice the bal mum before you finish with the zrikat dam of the tmima, then muteret, then you can eat it. But mishan izrak, once you sprinkle mishan izrak damashal tmima, asura. Once you sprinkle the blood, it's asur. Because again, it becomes a chatat shenitikapru ba'aleha. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon amar, afilu basar ba'alat mum, bikdera, even if you already started cooking the meat of the ba'al mum, vivin izrak damashal tmima, and then they sprinkle the blood of the tmima, Yotze lebet hasrefa. You have to burn it. Okay? So what do we see here? Again, Rabbi Shimon's opinion about chachach nekapru ba'aleh. He's the most machmir in this area, right? That you can't, because he says it there, we're going to assume then a margilim follows his opinion. Okay? You can't be margilim but psulei mukdashim because he still views them as having sanctity to them. So now we're going to question this. The fact that we took this braita and we split it into three and we said the first case, right? Okay, margilim b'yom tov, fine. We said that seems to make sense according to everyone. But then Rav Chista said that the Bechor is Beit Shammai, and the Psulei HaMukdashim is Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Chista, Lukma Yidi V'Yidi, Ke Beit Shammai, why didn't he say they're both like Beit Shammai? If they're Machmir B'Bechor, then they should be Machmir by Psulei HaMukdashim. So the Gemara answers, Dilma Ki Amri Beit Shammai B'Bechor, Dikdushat Yemirechem. Aval Psulei HaMukdashim, lo, maybe you think he's only Machmir by Bechor, because Bechor has this extra chumrah that the others don't have, which is as soon as it was born, it was already sanctified. And therefore, he'd be more Machmir in that case than a regular animal that was born, wasn't sanctified, and then somebody gave it sanctity down the road. Well, let's ask the question otherwise then. It's always better if we can say the Brite has one author, it matches one opinion. So why don't we say they're both like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon? And when he says by Psulei HaMukdashim that they still have Kedusha in it, he would say the same by Bechor. So now they say, no, Dilma ki amar Rav Elazar Rav Shimon b'Psulei HaMukdashim. Da'alime l'mitpas pidyonam. They have more Kedusha to them. How do we know that they have more Kedusha than a Bechor? Because of a Bechor, lo. A Bechor you can't redeem. You can never redeem the sanctity of a Bechor. So maybe that means if it can't be redeemed, this is an interesting way of looking at it, in order for something to be redeemed, this has come up before, it has to have a high level of sanctity to allow it to be redeemed. So the fact that Psulei HaMukdashim can be redeemed and Bechor can never be redeemed again, why can't Bechor be redeemed? Because you have to wait for it to get a mum, and once it gets a mum, then you can eat it without needing redemption. But other things that you can't, other things can be redeemed even if they have a mum, etc. So now we're going to say, since Bechor can't be redeemed, maybe it has less Kedusha to it because the Pidyon doesn't have enough Kedusha to be Tofis, right, to kind of grab onto. But Psulei HaMukdashim have a lot of Hekdesh to them, and, you know, a lot of Kedusha to them, and therefore they have a stronger Kedusha, and that's why Rav Elazar Rav Shimon says that in Psulei HaMukdashim they still have Kedusha, but he wouldn't necessarily say it with Bechor. And then if you then end up slaughtering the second one before you end up sacrificing the first one, the other one, before you slaughter this one, you'd have to leave it to die. Now they're going to question, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon lately had its name, but doesn't he hold by the following Mishnah in Bechorot? Kol Psulei HaMukdashim nishchatim be'itlis, v'nimkarim be'itlis, v'nishkalim be'litra. All Psulei HaMukdashim, as opposed to Bechor, okay, can be sold in the shuk, can be slaughtered in the shuk, sold in the shuk, can be measured with weights. And why is this? To benefit the hekdesh. So what do we see here? Alma kevan desharit le tafe v'zavin. So therefore, since we can do it in the itlis and belitra and all these ways, because we allow them to do it in these ways, so people will end up paying more money for it and the hekdesh will benefit. So what do you see here? That they allow Psulei HaMukdashim to be treated like Cholin. Okay? So, Amar of Mary, Bered Rav Kahana. We're now going to have three different answers as to why we allow it to be Nishchatim Be'etliz, Nimkirim Be'etliz, Nishkalim Be'litra, but we don't allow it to be Margilin. So the answer is, and think about it, if you can do Margilin and you can create a flask out of it, well, then you can sell it for more money. So don't you think that we would allow it? So Amar Rav Meir, Bered Rav Kahana, Mashbiach Be'or Pogein Babasar. It doesn't really add, because if you do Margilin, more of the meat comes off with it. So even though the hide is going to be worth more, the meat is going to be worth less because you're going to have less meat. That's one answer. B'Marava, Mishmei Deravina Amre. There's some Girsa issues here, but we'll read it like that. In Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Ravina, they said, Mipnei Shenir'eh Ke'oved Avoda B'Kodashim. It looks like you're doing work with Kodashim, because Margilin is a whole type of Avodah, and that's not appropriate. It's Bizayon Kodashim. Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin Amar, Gzera Shem Yigdal Mehen Adarim Adarim. We're worried that if we let you make a flask out of it, you might wait for a longer time until you find someone who's willing to buy the flask, and you'll leave these animals for longer, in which case what will happen, always our concern, that you'll end up working the animals or shearing them, and that's not allowed, even in Psulei HaMukdashim. And with that, we end the perek. Hazron alach lad chatat. Okay, new perek starts off. Kaftal and amubet. Ketza ma'arimin ala bachur. How can we figure out a situation to avoid having a bachur? Okay, we want to take away sanctity to the bachur. We don't want to give it up. How can we avoid it? Okay, it's an interesting way for the mission to start. And it also, if you think Now, I was always taught there's a topic sentence, and then everything kind of follows the topic sentence. Today, we're going to see that that's not exactly so in this Mishnah, okay? Because it sounds like the whole Mishnah is going to be talking about Ketzah Marimim Ala Bechor, but we're going to quickly leave the Bechor case and move on to other cases. First, they're going to explain how we do this. If you remember, we learned this in Bechorot. Mivakeret Shaita Meuberet. You have a mother who's never given birth yet to any animals. That's, she's called a mivakeret. She has a bechor inside her womb, or potential bechor. It could be a male, it could be a female. If it's female, then there's no bechor. So she's pregnant. Omer, the owner, says like this: Mashe b'me'en ha'shelzo, im zachar ola. Whatever's inside, if it's a male, it's going to be a korban ola, which means that when it gets out, it will be a korban ola, and it won't be a bechor. Okay? In that case, you're allowed to switch it and use it as your korban ola rather than have it be a bechor, which will have to go to the kohen. Again, he's not going to really benefit from this because the ola gets all burnt on the mizbeach, but at least he'll be able to use it for his korban ola. So what if you say this? Yalda zachar yikrav ola. If, in fact, she gives birth to a male, then it gets sacrificed to korban ola. Okay, why is that? Isn't it bechor and kadosh mirechem? Because even though we say kadosh mirechem, what does it mean? When it leaves the rechem. But at this point, you did this before it left the rechem, so you can actually do this. Ve'im nekeva, okay, if she says, now we're going to have to see what this case is, but if the owner says, if the mother gives birth to a female, zivchei shlamim, it will be a shlamim, because again, an ola can't be brought with a female, but a shlamim can be. Then yalda nekeva tikrav shlamim. We get to the Gemara, we'll try to figure out what this is talking about. But if it's a nekeva, it will be sacrificed as a shlamim. Im zachar ola v'im nekeva zivchei shlamim. What if you said if it's male it'll be an ola, and if it's female it'll be a zivchei shlamim? So now we're going to have several possibilities. Yalda zachar nekeva. If you give birth, in fact, to, if the animal gives birth to a zachar and a nekeva, hazachar yikrav ola v'nekeva tikrav shlamim. So then exactly as you said, has to be done. One is ola, the male is ola, the female is shlamim. Yalda shnei zcharim. What if you do two zcharim? So only one of them is an ola. The problem is we don't know which one. So, echa mehem yikrav ola, one is sacrificed as an ola, v'sheni yimachir l'chayavei ola, v'damav chulin. You yourself only committed to one animal, so financially you have no commitment. The problem is that the animal might be designated as an ola and you can't sacrifice it, so therefore, the first one you sacrifice as an ola, and the second one is suffix. Maybe it's an ola, but again, no financial suffix. So you sell it to someone who has to bring a korban ola so that it will get sacrificed as korban ola, but not as yours. And the damav become chulin, you can take that money and do with it whatever you want. Yaldash shtein kevot, so now the flip. Again, the same thing will happen. The second one will be suffix. You'll sell it for someone who needs to buy a korban shlamim, and the money will become chulin. Yalda tumtum v'androgynous. What if you give birth, though, to a tumtum and an androgynous? Okay, one is suffix male, suffix female, right? We just can't see which one it is, so we can't tell. That's the tumtum, it's hidden. Or androgynous, which it has both simanim of female and male. Rashbag omer ein kedusha achal aleihem. There's no kedusha on these, according to Rashbag. Again, these can't be sacrificed anyway. But we'll see in the Gemara on Kafe why they say this isn't, why Rav Shimon Gamliel says this. Okay, the Gemara starts off with a teaching of Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yehuda, mutar lahatil mum bebechor kodem sheyetze lavir haolam. You can actually inflict a blemish into the animal before it comes out of the womb, and that will avoid you having to have a bechor. Okay, now, this is a little strange according to our Mishnah, because why? It's none. Omer adam mashu b'me'a shel zo ola, ola. So what do you see here? It only gave you the option to say whatever comes out of the womb will be an ola. Right? Notice it said specifically ola. Ola in shlamim lo. Right? It seems like you couldn't have said shlamim. Shlamim would have been better for you because then you could at least eat the meat. Here they're saying you won't have a bechor owned by you for sure. You'll have to at least sacrifice it as an ola, but at least then you won't have to give it to the kohen. But it doesn't give you the option to have a shlamim where you'll be able to eat the meat. And you're saying, Rav Yehuda, that the Mishnah would only let you make it an ola. So how could you possibly remove the kedusha entirely from it by blemishing it before it comes out? Remember, you're not allowed to inflict a blemish on a bechor, But here what we're saying is do it before it becomes a Bechor, before it comes out of the womb. It doesn't make sense we'd be allowed to do that if the Mishnah said you can only make it an Ola and not a Shlamim. So, Amar Lecha Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Hani Mi Le Bizman She Beit HaMikdash Kayam. Ki Kamina Ana Bizman Azeh De Lo Chazeh La Hakrava. He says very simply, the Mishnah is talking about a time when there was a Beit HaMikdash, and that's why you'd say it's an Ola, and only an Ola. When it could be sacrificed, then you can't lower it any, you have to give it at least as an Ola. But when there's no Beit HaMikdash, and it's not going to be sacrificed anyway, then you can put a Mum, inflict a blemish, before it comes out, and that's your solution. So now they say, Ibizman Azem Maila Mimra. So wait a minute. If Rav Yehuda is saying that when he said it, he was only talking about Bizman Azeh, well, what's his chiddush? If you can't sacrifice it, then of course you can be Matil Mum before it's born. What's the issue? So the Gemara says, Ma'o detema nigzor dilma nafik rov rosho v'kashade be'muma. Maybe you'll be worried that maybe while the baby's coming out, now at what point is it considered born? Once the majority of the head comes out. We've seen this a number of times. Once the majority of the head comes out, it's considered born. Now, if we say you can afflict the womb while it's still inside, now, while it's still inside means as long as most of the head hasn't come out, but what if part of the head comes out and not most of the head, or and as it's doing that, you start inflicting a blemish, but the whole head pops out, and then you end up inflicting a blemish once most of the head already came out, and then it will be usher. So maybe you think that we won't allow you to do this because you might accidentally come to do it in a way that's forbidden. That's why he needed to tell us this. That's Rav Yehuda's chidush. So then they say, ve'ema hachinami. But really, maybe that should be an issue and we should be gozer. So what do they say? Ha'adifa mida'ate be lidei gizav avoda. There's, as usual, we have two conflicting things going on. On the one hand, we're worried that maybe the Rov Rosho will come out and you'll end up inflicting a blemish into the animal while once it's already born and it's already a Bechor. On the other hand, we'd rather be worried that that's going to happen than come to the other situation, which is, we've discussed this before when we learned Bechorot, that there's a concern with a Bechor that and if you have to wait many years potentially till it gets a Mum, remember that really old animal that had long hair, and what's the issue? You're not allowed to shear the animal and you're not allowed to work the animal. And if we leave this animal for a really long time and wait till it gets a Mum, then we're going to end up maybe accidentally shearing it or working it. And therefore, since that's more of a concern, therefore we're going to allow you to inflict the womb while it's in utero, even though maybe there's a bit of a concern that maybe Rov Rosho will come out before you inflict the blemish. Okay, continuing on. Im nekeva zivchei shlamim. So now, going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah started off with a case, ketzah marimim ala bachur. How do we avoid a bachur situation? But then it quickly moved to a nekeva. Now, clearly, when it was talking about the nekeva, and it said, im nekeva, right? Well, before it comes out, you say, if it's a nekeva, I'm bringing as korban shlamim, and then it's a nekeva, you'd have to bring korban shlamim. So what's it talking about there? It obviously isn't talking about bechor. Nekeva, mika kacha bebechorah. There's no such thing as bechorah. So you're saying if it's a nekeva, it's going to be zivchei shlamim, wasn't trying to avoid bechorah. There is no such thing. So seifa atya lebehema de hektesh. It was talking about a behema of hektesh, where the mother was sanctified while she was pregnant. What you wanted to do here was you want to avoid it having the sanctity of its mother. So what you do is you say, before it comes out, because remember we talked about the vlad, it only becomes sanctified when it comes out. There's a machloket about that. And this Mishnah is siding on the fact that the kedusha of vlad hektesh is not chal when it's in utero. It's only once it's born. And therefore, before it's born, you could be makdish it for a different korban and say, I'm sanctifying it for the following korban. Okay? And that's what the second case of the Mishnah is coming to teach you. So the first case was how ketzah la'arim ala bechor on the bechor. And the second one was, how would you be ma'arim on behemat hekdesh on the vlad? Okay? And again, the chidush is that until it's born, it's not sanctified. Next case in the Mishnah, Yalda Shnei Zacharim. What if you say, right, Im Nekeva, it's this, and Im Zachar, it's that, right? Im Zachar Olav, Im Nekeva Shlamim. And then it gives birth to two males. So what did it say, right? Then one is Ola, and the second one, Yimachir L'chayve Olav, V'damav Chulim. So Amre, so now they say about this, Ibehema de Hekdesh. Now the assumption is, since the second case was talking about Behemad Hekdesh and it was relating to the female, and since, right, this is talking about, you said, Im Zachar Olav, Im Nikeva Shlamim, you obviously weren't talking about a Bechor situation, so it must be a Behemad Hekdesh. Hey, Ach de Akdish Ola, Lehavi Ola, Idach Nehave Bikdushate Ime. That's, wouldn't, if it was two Zacharim and the mother was Hekdesh, right? Now, what's the issue? The mother was Hekdesh, which means when the Vlad is born, it's going to also have the sanctity of its mother. But it, and if you say, if Zachar Ola, Vim Nikeva Shlamim, so now, two Zacharim were born. So the Nikeva is out of the picture at this point. The first Zachar is going to be Ola, and the second one should be Bekdushate Deimei. It should have whatever the mother has if we're talking about Behemad Hekdesh. And we shouldn't say, Yimacher L'chaive Ola V'damav Chulin. So therefore, that doesn't seem to make sense either. So the answer is, Seifa Atan LeBehemat Chulin. Here we're not talking about a Behemat Hekdesh. Okay, so again, the first case was a Behemat that was having a firstborn. The second case was a Behemat that was Hekdesh. And now we want to avoid the Ubar having the same status as the mother. The third case, when you said Im Zachar Olav, Im Nikevash Lamim, the animal was a perfect, was a Chulin. It wasn't a Bechor, it wasn't having its firstborn, and it wasn't, it was Chulin. And all you wanted to do was, you wanted to sanctify the Ubarim. So you said, if it's Zachar, it'll be an Ola. If Nikevaz, it's Shlamim. And it's just a classic case of, you're trying to sanctify the Vlad while it's in utero. And then the Mishnah is telling us, well, if you said it in the following formulation, and then there were two Zacharim born, so what do you do with the second one, right? The first one's obviously Ola, or one of them is Ola. What do you do with the second one, which is Sefek? And then they tell you, well, since you said Im Zachar Ola, and therefore there's a Sefek, then you'd have to sell it for Chayve Ola, and it's Damav Ubi Chulin. Okay, we'll stop here for today.